man. How's it going?
So, go on down to the show notes and hit on all that social stuff down there. You know, right now I'm spending a lot of time on Twitter. I'm hunting down places where I can share my content. You know, I see a lot of Twitter posts that people are asking for new blogs to read, new podcasts to listen to, new YouTube channels to watch. You know, and I've got these things, and I don't have a whole lot of people that listen to my content or look at my content or interact with me in general. Okay, so I thought, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to spend some more time pushing my content out there. I'm so very sorry. I sound distracted. I'm driving right now between between Springfield and Marshfield, Missouri, almost to Marshfield, and on the train heading west, there are a lot of military vehicles on this train. Wasn't a very long train, but there are a lot of, you know, military type vehicles on there, not tanks or anything, but a lot of the big Hummers they call them Humvees in the military, don't they? I apologize, I'm not a military expert, but you know, whenever I see stuff like that driving on the road, it makes me a little bit nervous, and I figure I try and throw that kind of stuff out on the podcast as I see it happening. I see a lot of convoys on the interstate too. But anyway, I've kind of taken it upon myself to develop a bit of a regimen on being focused on pushing my material out there, pushing my content out in front of, you know, especially if you're like on Twitter and you're putting out a post saying, hey, look, you know, here's a share train. Let's, you know, help everybody out, boost their Instagram following. I'm going to put a link to my Instagram on that tweet as a response. Yeah, hey, I'm Hey Man. Here's my Instagram. Here's some hashtags and, you know, some other places to follow me too. That's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to, you know, not to be, you know, and I'm not a big fan of salesmen, but, you know, my dad is really good at it, and I feel like I've got it in me. It's just I've hated other salesmen trying to sell me stuff for so long that I hate the idea that I've got to sell myself to other people, and, you know, push my content out there in front of other people and do a salesman job. You know, it really irritates me. But I thought that, you know, because it took me at least an hour to get down what it is I said in that introduction episode. And it didn't feel right because it was so quick. You know, I've from my very first episode to now, I feel like I've grown immensely. I'm not I'm not the same exact person as I was, you know, in March. So March, April, May, June, we're, you know, what, Sunday is July 1st. You're probably going to be listening to this way after that, okay? But I've grown so much over the last 5 months of, well, plus February, I started the whole Hey Man brand. And I started out as, let me preface all of this first, okay? It took me that long to do the, do this last introduction episode because it felt like it was a summary of who I was when I started and who I am now. And I'm not that same person anymore. And I felt like I needed to do a bit of a recap on the stuff that I talk about, my main areas of discussion. Okay. If you're one of those people that, you know, you listen to my introduction episode, okay, and you're now listening to this episode, you know, welcome to the show. I thank you very, very much. I appreciate it a lot that you're here, that you're listening, that you've, you know, given up an hour of your time to hear what I've got to say. Okay, I can't thank you enough. I don't edit my podcast either. Once I get about 5-10 minutes in, I'm in it, man. You're gonna hear lots of ums and I sneeze, and every once in a while you might hear me burp. There's lots of pauses. Okay, I don't know. I moan and groan a lot. I laugh. I make jokes. I'm silly. Okay, but I also get serious about some stuff. And if I were to get a little too serious about stuff, I'll throw a joke in there just to mellow it out a little bit, because I don't like getting too serious about things. I prefer to be the Joker, not from Batman the Joker, but, you know, the funny guy. I like making jokes and making people smile and making people laugh and making people feel good. Okay. But unfortunately, we live in a world where we have to have conversations like this. Okay. And that unfortunateness is why I got into preparedness. Okay. It started out as, I guess, kind of a joke, but it got pretty serious. We went and watched a movie called Dawn of the Dead. Okay, the remake, not the old one. We had seen the old one. Me and my buddies, we were into the zombie flicks. Okay, and me in particular, I had been into the post-apocalyptic movies for a while. Just, I wasn't sure why at first, but it later became a thing, as you can tell now. I watched this movie. We went to the movie theaters to watch this movie, okay? And, you know, it was different on so many levels for me, because it was, you know, I like scary movies. I like zombie movies. Okay, I like post-apocalyptic movies. And this movie covered it all. Okay, there was good story. There was good drama. There was a bit of cheese in there with the baby zombie and Mekhi Phifer. You know, it was... You know, it brought some of that cheese from the old 70s zombie flicks into it too. It was a really great movie overall. And it scared the ever loving crap out of me. Very seriously. It scared me to a point, you know, and my friends. You know, we got back in the car and was headed home. And it was a 20-minute drive back home. And, you know, about 5 minutes into the trip, we just sat there and let it soak in that wow, holy crap. Kind of feeling of, I can't believe I just watched that. I'm scared on several different levels. I'm scared. So I asked the question, breaking the silence. What would we do if something like that actually happened? And we all sat there and kind of shrugged our shoulders like, I don't know. And, you know, at the time, we were all, you know, kind of big on smoking some stuff and drinking a lot, and we spent a good long while smoking and drinking and discussing plans. We drew pictures, we came up with plans and you know, gardens and moats and walls and all this stuff. And then it stopped. You know, we talked about it for, you know, a couple of days, tops. And then after that, we were done. We didn't talk about it anymore. We weren't scared anymore. But we also didn't act upon any part of the plan anymore. Okay, it was many years after that. That it became a something for me. But I, you know, years later, you know, I meet my future wife, and she's already got some kids, so now I've got some stepkids. I very, very rarely use the word stepkids. They're my kids. I know that biologically they're not my children, but I've raised them. I'm the major father influence on these kids. I'm not sure where, how or why it became a thing again in my life, but somehow or another, I had gotten my first smartphone, the iPhone 3GS. I think that, or was it the 3S, or iPhone 3. And then there were some letters after it. Okay. Most important part of it was that it was the iPhone 3. And that I had discovered podcast. Okay. I do follow a bit of a stereotype. Okay, I got to a certain age where I had heard all of the new music that I want to hear anymore. Okay. My love for new music kind of died off about 10, 15 years ago, and I haven't bought a new CD in forever. Just because I don't really like any of the new stuff enough to purchase an entire album of it. I'll get on YouTube and I'll listen to, like Adele. Okay, she has a fantastic voice, and really, really brings that emotional content to the really gets you in the feels, I think is what I'm trying to say. But I don't like anybody's stuff enough to go out and buy an album anymore. I listen to the radio, I listen to some of the CDs that I've already got. If I'm at like Goodwill or whatever, and I find a CD of a group that I just loved back in the 90s or the early aughts, I'll be like, oh man, $1 for this CD? Of course, here, take my money. But elsewise, I've hit a wall. I don't enjoy new music anymore, so I don't, It led me to the discovery of podcasting. That there's this whole other world out there for my headphones. That I can type into the search bar anything and find several podcasts on that topic. I'm like, wow! Some of these episodes are half an hour long. Some of these episodes are 3 hours long. Joe Rogan? Holy crap! And I don't know why, but somehow or another, the Survival Podcast came across as a suggestion for me. And I checked it out. And I loved it. Okay? I started in a few months after the Jetta days. Okay, if you know what that means, then high five to you. You are awesome. Okay, because, TSP is still one of my favorite podcasts. I don't... Some of the stuff that he talks about is not that interesting to me. Okay. I'm not to that level yet that I need to spend that amount of time concerning myself with it. Like whatever he has episodes about firearms and stuff. I don't have a gun. I don't have a firearm. Okay? I don't have the money to do that kind of thing. So, you know, I kind of just, you know, I let that episode go and not, you know, I don't listen to that episode, but I know that it's there. I know that it's possible that I could listen to that episode whenever the time comes that I get to that level, that it would concern me. So, you know, I listen to several different podcasts on preparedness, on a variety of different topics. All right, we'll just put it that way. But that right there was that became my, you know, my hook. I'm in this thing now, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm caught. I'm stuck. Okay, I am a prepper. I may be a different kind of prepper than you, but a prepper nonetheless. Okay, and I'm doing this podcast as a discussion and a chronicle of where I'm going as a prepper. Okay. Over the last few years of being a prepper, I have piled up more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. It's at one point it had taken over the house. Okay, I had tarps laying everywhere. I had sleeping bags and tents and backpacks and knives, kitchen stuff, you know, for canning. I was doing gardening stuff. I had rabbits and chickens. I was scared. I got to a scared point whenever I first got into this preparedness thing, and I was scared. I'm like, this is something that could happen tomorrow, and I'm not ready. I still have that little bit of fear in my, you know, in the back of my mind, that I'm not as ready as I could be. You know, I could have spent yesterday training or developing skill or doing something to make myself more prepared, but instead I sat around and, you know, we went to my son's ball game and I played on my phone, promoting my podcast and my brand, and, you know, just a general screwing off kind of time. But, you know, that was then. I've evolved a bit since then. I've found that I wouldn't say that I'm prepared enough, but I've studied long enough. I've read enough. I've been in this for long enough to be more comfortable. Not so much, what are you trying to say? Not comfortable so much to the point that I know what I'm doing. But to the point that I'm not as scared as I was. I'm a bit more focused now. I'm okay. I'm still scared, but I'm okay. I can focus my way through the fear. okay. So, on top of being a scared prepper, I'm also a pack rat. And I married a pack rat. And I married a pack rat with pack rat kids. And then we had kids. And we had pack rat kids. And we would, you know, we moved from home to home, rental to rental. And each one was a bigger home. And then finally we got to purchase our own home. And that home, man, it opened up so many doors in my mind and made things so much worse. Okay, each home got bigger, the last one being the biggest, and we had to fill all of that space up. We had extra rooms. What are we going to do with this room? Oh, we're going to put our extra stuff in it. And we did. We put, you know, wall to wall, front to back, side to side, floor to ceiling, jammed it full of stuff. So much stuff that whenever we moved out of that house 3 years later, there was stuff in there from two houses ago that I had not seen. That I had forgotten we had. Oh man, I forgot we had this. I'd have used this if I'd known we had it. And, you know, somewhere in the middle of the last 3 years, that last home that we lived in, minimalism came along. Now, it was before that. It was the home before that. Because I was a stay-at-home dad. And, you know, it was my job to get up early, get the kids up, get them breakfast, get them off to school, wake up my wife, feed her, get her off to work. It worked out that, you know, she wanted to work two jobs, and her two jobs covered the bills. And it was either she got another part-time job, or I got another part-time job, and, you know, I had spent all of my high school days preparing myself for just such an occasion, to be a house husband, to be a, you know, to marry a sugar mama and be, you know, to be a stay-at-home husband. So, you know, it suits me. It suits me to be that kind of guy. I enjoy it. I love it. So, I jumped right in. The first couple of weeks was, you know, getting the house arranged to a point that was, you know, base level. Okay, this is the way I wanted the house to look, how I wanted the house to smell, you know, where the flowers go, where the furniture goes, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then from there I tried to improve. And I got into trying to reorganize, because we had a lot of stuff then also, and I was already a prepper. We had a cabinet in the kitchen where we would put, you know, our you know, our staples and our regular meal stuff. Like, we'd go shopping for the week, and those meals would be stuck in the freezer or on a little spot on the counter, so they were right there and in visual range that this is what we're going to have for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then, you know, Saturday and Sunday we'll figure that out, or, you know, whatever. And in the back room were my prepper shelves, all the long-term storage food, the number 10 cans of stuff and bags of rice and all this other stuff. And, you know, that pile of stuff got bigger and bigger and bigger and more and more and more. And it is what it is, man. It just, there was so much of it. And I was like, well, maybe if I just reorganized. And I got on YouTube and I looked up reorganization videos and I got pretty good at reorganizing stuff and putting, you know, like stuff with each other and putting it in a spot and blah blah blah, and the house looked better, but it still looked cluttered. It still looked a mess. So I had seen a few times in my research the word minimalism. Like, ooh, what's this? So I looked into it, and, you know, at first it was just a bunch of kids traveling around the world living out of their backpacks, but, you know, I also saw those videos that, you know, were, you know, actual, you know, adults with adult responsibilities that, you know, were living a real life that just had way too much stuff, and it was overwhelming them. I was like, that's me. I'm a real life adult with lots of responsibilities and lots of extra crap, and it's just overwhelming me. Now, don't get me wrong, I watched plenty of those videos of those kids traveling around the world, and, you know, everything they own is in their backpack, and, you know, I still find that exciting. I still find that as a something that I would like to be a possibility in my life. But I started to realize that there was so much stuff in our lives that we didn't need. It wasn't necessary. And I would, you know, I use the pendulum analogy a lot. I'd swing from one extreme to the other and back and forth. I'd be super minimalist 1 week, and then, you know, this new thing happened. They're like, oh man, we've got to have this thing, and not think twice about it. This is it. This is the thing. We've got to have it and buy it. And now we have it, and now I realize, well, that was dumb. Hey, I'm a lot better about stuff like that now than I was then, but, you know, I still have that tendency to go, hey man, hey, this new thing is freaking awesome, dude, we gotta get it. And then I tell myself, wait a minute, wait, hold on. Okay, so this last house that I lived in, you know, it was huge.
sorry. I'm trying to make this turn. The kind of the tricky intersection. The last home I lived in was huge. It had a big, huge backyard, and it opened up all kinds of possibilities in my mind of what was possible. Yeah, I had rabbits and chickens before, but now I've got a fenced in backyard that, you know, I have more control over. I can put up a garden. I can put a space up just for gardening. I have all this extra room to put all my prepper stuff in. You know, and I use the word prepper to include, you know, homesteading stuff, camping stuff, hunting stuff, fishing stuff. I'm not much of a hunter or a fisher, so it wasn't like I had a whole lot of that stuff. I've got some fishing poles and a big tackle box that I got from my grandpa that I used as a kid whenever we would go fishing. It, as of right now, it has more sentimental value than it does practical value, because I don't have time to go fishing. Okay, it's just not in the scheduling possibilities right now, but you know, it can be soon, and it fits into my lifestyle, so it's you know, some of that stuff that, you know, I was considering getting rid of, but sitting there and looking at it going, you know what, I am going to use this stuff. I do, you know, it does have a level of necessity in my life. So I'm not going to get rid of it. Okay. I got to do this delivery real quick. I'll be back in a little bit. All right, so like I was saying, the new home that we were living in, the last home we were living in, that house opened up so many different possibilities for me, and I tried to take advantage of all of the opportunities. I tried to do everything all at once, and it was overwhelming, not gonna lie. And I did too much. It was too much. It was too much all at once. It became overwhelming, and I just threw my hands up in the air and gave up. And I backed off of it for a little while, and I tried to get started back up again. You know, the springtime would roll around. I would put some seeds in the ground. They'd grow so far, then they'd die off. I'd start some inside. They'd grow up real big. I'd stick them in the ground. They'd die off. I couldn't make it work. It wouldn't work for me. And it's still aggravating now talking about it. You know, how am I going to feed my family when the zombie apocalypse strikes? If I can't even grow freaking tomatoes. You know, in part of my research,
in gardening, I found out that the early American settlers considered the tomato to be a weed. Because it grew everywhere and it was, and they didn't like it, and it, and I'm sitting there going, BS. These plants might grow like a weed everywhere but where I plant them. It's not, they're not weeds where I come from, sir. So, yeah. Me and gardens weren't doing well. Me and rabbits, we were not doing well. Put a boy rabbit and a girl rabbit together, and you know, they wouldn't do what bunnies do. They, man, it just was aggravating. And then I got the chickens, and the chickens would lay eggs, and the chickens were awesome pets. But then it got to be where, you know, I did better with chickens than I did with anything else. Okay, the chickens I got. Okay, the rabbits, I didn't get it. I mean, everybody's like, oh yeah, yeah, they multiply like rabbits. Not my rabbits, because my rabbits are freaking stupid. They don't multiply like rabbits. They multiply like pandas. So, it just got super overwhelming. I gave up, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna wait until next spring, and I'm gonna pick that one thing, and I'm gonna get freaking awesome at it. That was my plan. Unfortunately, right now is that spring, and we had to move at the beginning of November to where we're at now, and we're back in a rental, so that means no rabbits, no chickens. They had a space for a garden, but I'm too busy right now to deal with something like that. I don't have the time or the energy to also do that, you know. But you know, it's just so, it's, I don't know. The homesteading portion of the preparedness thing is a lot. There's a lot to it. It's not, you know, being a farmer is not the simple life. Okay, they had that show, The Simple Life, with the Paris Hilton and her friend something. I forget what her name was. But anyway, not important at all. The important part was that they thought that the farmers were had the simple life. They didn't have all these complexities to their lives and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I only watched 10, 15 minutes of the show, and I'm sitting there thinking about it. I was like, these two girls are the ones that have the simple life. They have no skill. They have nothing to offer the world other than being pretty and popular, and their parents have a lot of money, but no actual skill to to do anything in this world. And yet they're handed millions of dollars a year. And everybody wants to be a part of their lives, and everybody throws food at them and shelter and money and all this other stuff. And have really nothing to offer as far as equitable skill goes. That, to me, is the simple life. The reason I find the farming life to be the preferred life, okay, is like, I go to work, and all of my efforts that I put towards a goal goes towards the goal, somebody else's goal. Everything that I'm doing right now at work is towards somebody else's goal. My goal is somebody else's, it lifts the glory of this company, my employer, which, is fine. That's fine. Not a big deal. Okay. But I see farming as my goal, and my efforts put towards that goal lifts up my own personal glory, lifts up my own personal self-esteem. Like, look at this thing that I have accomplished. I turned this monocultured area of grass into this plot of food. There's tomatoes and peppers and onions, and it's a salsa garden, more or less. There goes my ride. No, I was playing. But that's what I want my life to be more of. If the efforts that I was putting forward into building up somebody else's goals and aim that effort into my own personal goals, then my own personal goals would go farther and faster versus my employer's goals. Now, I happen to be one of the lucky few people who really enjoys their job. Okay, I really like my job. Okay, if you are in one way or another somehow connected to my employer, I am not lying. I really, truly, honestly enjoy my job. Okay? And you'll have a tough time dragging me off of this job, kicking and screaming. I'm pretty sure that I would beg to keep my job. I'd probably get into a physical fight with somebody to keep my job. I'm not very good at physical fights, but I'd throw down if I had to. Okay? Just saying. Now, I say that because I don't want to make it sound like I hate my job and I want to get into farming and all of this other stuff to, so that I could leave my job. Okay. As far as jobs go, I've got a great one. I like it a lot. Sidetracked a little bit there and I lost it.
Where are we at for time, Rich? Oh, I still got a couple.
I'm now, right now, as far as preparedness is going, I'm focusing on skills. Okay. I've got a bit of a food plan, a bit of stuff set back, you know, a week or so right now. We had to dig into the food stores because it was one of those situations where, you know, we didn't have time to go grocery shopping while we were doing the big move. So we dug into the freezer, we dug into the dry goods and the storable stuff and made meals from that. Just so that we had, you know, the time that we were going to spend at the grocery store, instead we'd spend at home packing and getting ready for the move and getting moved out. That's where we put our efforts. And we had to dig into the food stores in order to accomplish that goal. So now we're restocking. And that's, you know, I'll get a bit more into my preparedness plan on the next episode. But right now I'm more focused on different skills, like, you know, some primitive skills, wilderness skills. I want to get my fishing license again and actually go fishing this time and put some food on the table that way. With my podcast, I'd like to get into contact with somebody in my local area that's, you know, familiar with the Ozark Mountain area that could take me out on a walk and show me some of the stuff that I could gather, that I could eat. You know, I know dandelions are edible and plantains and that kind of thing, but I'm not exactly sure what a plantain looks like. I'm not exactly sure how to prepare a dandelion to eat. You know, that kind of thing. I want to have an interview with somebody who knows that stuff that I could have a conversation with, that I could record a conversation with and present up on, you know, in my different areas of contact, whether it be podcast or YouTube or whatever. That's my goal. That's what I'm trying to accomplish. As far as prepper goals are going right now. And in general, getting to know my area and where I moved from. I lived there for 40 years. 40 years of life of getting accustomed to all of the hills and all of the, you know, this wooded area here and this wooded area there, and knowing, you know, if you put me on a river anywhere in that area, I would know what direction I was floating in. But right now, I don't even know where the river is. I mean, I know northwest, east and south, you know, that kind of thing. But it could have been a really cloudy day and you couldn't see the sun at all, and I would know where I was without being able to use a compass or see the sun. I had a pretty good general idea of where I was. And now, I get so twisty-turny that, you know, like right now I'm headed southwest, but I could have swore I was headed northwest. Just looking at the sun, I'm like, what? I'm confused as to where I am and what I'm doing. I know that I get on this road and I go this direction, and I get to where I'm going. That's how disoriented I am now. It's getting a lot better. I feel more comfortable with my surroundings. Okay. I don't stress it so much because I've gotten that level of comfort. Alright, so I'm going to continue on with my reintroduction series in the next podcast. I hope you follow along. I hope you subscribe and you go down to the show notes and you go to all those different little places right there and follow my content and all that area. And until then, I'll talk to you later, man. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.